Hello, hello, everyone. Welcome to this month's Trusting Your Body call. I am so glad to be here with you all today. My name is Jane Pilger. You might know me as Corinne's bestie, and I am so happy to be here with you guys this evening for this call. So here's how this call is going to work. This is the Trusting Your Body call. We are going to be talking about the course within No BS called Trusting Your Body. However, I want to be very clear, you do not need to have taken the Trusting Your Body course. You don't even need to know that the Trusting Your Body course exists to get a lot of value and benefit from this call. So if you have a body and you are working on trusting it, you are in the right place. So I'm going to talk just for a few minutes in the beginning, and then we're just going to open it up for some coaching. So if you would like coaching this evening, go ahead and raise your hand and we will go from there. So as I mentioned, I am Jane Pilger. I am also Corinne's best friend. I love, love, love to coach on specifically the topic of binge eating. It is my own personal story, and it is something that I very much relate to. I have my own private practice where I work specifically on the topic of binge eating. And so it is something near and dear to my heart. I also have a special announcement for you guys, which is exciting. Next year, going into 2023, as you guys know, No BS is always looking for ways to just continue to add values to you, the members. And one thing that we are going to do, I am going to continue offering monthly coaching calls for you guys. And in 2023, they are going to be very specifically just binge support calls. So they won't necessarily need to be related or tied into trusting your body. We are just going to have monthly binge support calls with me going forward, and that is going to be amazing. So with that said, I wanted to, if you have any questions as we are on the call, if for those of you who are attending live, you can go ahead and type them into the Q&A. So those will be kind of the two ways that I will be addressing people, will be live coaching, raise your hand if you want it, and through the Q&A. So I wanted to just spend a couple of minutes talking about specifically trusting your body and how do we, so we're in December, and in as some of us are going into the holiday season, some of us are celebrating certain holidays, and there are sometimes foods that are around, right, that aren't usually around. And sometimes there can kind of be this question of like, how do I trust myself when there are these other foods around? How do I kind of, you know, connect that? What I want to offer to you is one simple word in terms of trusting your body. And when it comes to being in situations where there may be either a lot more foods around you than usual, there may be different foods around you than usual, you may be attending parties, you may be attending family events, you may be attending other things, you may be seeing foods in the grocery store that, you know, you can't normally get at other times of the year, these types of things. The one word I want to offer to you is connection. And that is just staying connected with yourself, staying connected with the experience of eating, whatever it is that you're eating, staying connected, just staying connected. There is often this idea that, I can't trust myself around these foods. Once I start eating this, then I can't stop. And I would offer that most often, if that is the case for you, you likely aren't feeling connected in that moment. So rather than trying to come up with a lot of rules or a lot of this or that, if you can just keep in mind the one word, connection, and see how that changes. How can I stay connected through this experience? How can I stay either connected to the flavors, to the textures, to the tastes? How can I stay connected to my body? How can I stay connected to the experience of what this is? The idea of connection is such a powerful process for you to bring in that trust process. Now, If you don't know about trusting your body and you don't know what that is, just as a quick heads up, Trusting Your Body is a course that is available to you within the No BS Weight Loss membership. It is in the menu has changed a little bit, but it's in the self-study resources in the courses and is called Trusting Your Body. You can also just go into the search bar, type in Trusting Your Body. It is a great course for you to be able to really kind of make that connection, just like I'm talking about that connection, make that connection between your body and your choices around what you want to eat. So bringing that body into the equation as to all of it is kind of part of that process. So that is what I have for you this evening as far as general items. So I am going to go ahead and call on some people for coaching. Melissa, you are up. I am going to bring you to panelist. All right. Here comes Melissa.
Hi.
Hi.
Okay. So I would describe myself as a former binger, but recently, right before Thanksgiving, we're foster parents, and we got a call that one of our placements had a brother born, and we decided to take him so they could stay together. But he is a newborn withdrawing off of drugs and hasn't slept. Like, we're running, my husband and I will split up the night, so we like do get 4 hours of sleep, but that's like literally it. Get like 4 hours of sleep. And so I have been having like major overeats, binges, I don't know what to call them, a couple times a week the last 3 weeks. Okay. And I know most of it is I'm tired. And then you add on Christmas and I'm just having a really hard time with it.
Yeah. Okay. Okay. So one of the things I always love to do is ask the question, how does this make sense? So that's pretty easy to answer, right? How this makes sense with your fatigue. Whenever we have, in general, if we are low on sleep, one of the things that the body immediately is going to do is going to offer up, ooh, let's eat, because the brain kind of knows this is a way to get energy. Food is a way to get more energy when we don't have very much. And this is why for all of you, when you are fatigued, when rest is very much a need, oftentimes the brain is going to kind of like offer up more just kind of signals to eat more. So that makes a lot of sense. There also may be other things kind of going on for you around having the newborn, the other, you know, kind of emotional things around that. So that also makes a lot of sense to me. So you're saying, okay, this started when you were saying you identify yourself kind of more as a former binger, but then more recently this.
Yes. And I feel like I really haven't for like the last year, but it's like coming back as a coping mechanism.
Yeah. Yeah.
And neighbors delivering all the holiday treats hasn't helped.
So tell me this, let's look at the last time. Can you remember the last time?
Okay. It was actually 2 days ago. So not yesterday. And it was just, I was really tired. And I was doing bedtime on my own because my husband has finals this week. And I was just like, I can't handle this. I think that's like my main thought is I can't handle this. And I was like, okay, cookies is going to make it better. So literally I used cookies as like a reward to get through the whole night. And every time I did something I didn't want to do, I ate a cookie, which means I ate like 20 of them. And they weren't that big, but I was like, I did not feel good at the end of the night for sure.
Yes. Yes. So here's what's so powerful. You know the thoughts behind it. I can't handle this. So, and there's also this kind of like, I can't handle this. And we could almost add a couple of words on the back of that sentence. I can't handle this without food.
Yes.
Oh, without cookies. Right? Because clearly you're handling it, but it's like, cookies will help. Cookies, and again, I'm gonna add on to your sentence. Cookies will help me get through this.
Right.
Cookies will help me be able to handle this. You know, cookies will help me do this thing I think I can't actually do.
Yeah, so, that's exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So then it's like, oh, well, of course, if I'm thinking I can't handle it without cookies and cookies are going to be the thing that's going to get me through, then of course I'm going to keep going back to.
Yeah.
And then I'm also curious to know, as you go for the cookies, what is the internal dialogue about eating the cookies?
I definitely kind of hard on myself, like, oh, this isn't going to make me feel good. I know my weight's coming up, like I'm in maintenance and it's been slowly creeping up, not like a ton, but like 4 or 5 pounds, or like, mm-hmm. obviously that can turn into more. So I'm like trying to, there's definitely a negative dialogue as yes. I'm going for it.
Yes. Right. So then it's like, okay, number one, I can't handle it. Two, I got to have the cookies to do it. Three, when I have the cookies, I'm basically showing myself why this is so bad. You know, why this is wrong, because you're not going to feel good. Your weight's going up. You shouldn't be doing this. Those types of things are also going on in the background. Then what ends up happening is it's like, oh, well, you know what kind of can quiet those yucky voices in the background? More cookies, because, right? And so then we're like in this loop. And so then it makes so much sense. So here's what I love to do. I have this new analogy that I'm using, or this new acronym that I'm using that I love, and it's called CALL, C-A-L-L.
Okay.
So the C is comprehend with compassion. So it is the, how does this make sense? It's like, oh, of course.
Yeah, it does make sense.
You are dealing with an infant who is withdrawing from drugs. Of course. You are not getting very much sleep. Of course. Like, of course. So we comprehend that with compassion. Then A, we assess and address. So we assess the needs. What are your needs? You have a need for rest, but some of that is limited. You know, you're not going to go sleep for 9 hours straight, because that's not what's happening for you right now.
Right, right.
But what are ways that you could address some of the needs that you have?
Right. And I think that's why the nights are hard, because I don't feel like I can get it right then, but maybe I can try to do it earlier. It's been hard because he's fussy during the day too. Like maybe other types of rest. I don't know exactly what I need to figure out, but I'm sure there's a way to address it.
Well, and there's also, I think too, like I don't think it's so bad to reward yourself with when something seems hard, to kind of give yourself little boosts along the way. But I just don't know that for you, cookies probably isn't the way that you want to reward yourself, right?
Because
it's really not going to get you the rest that you need. It's not going to keep you in the weight range that you want to be in. You know, it's not necessarily that it's bad or it's wrong. It's just, we want to take on things that will, provide us the short-term kind of relief or what we're looking for, as well as the long-term benefits and, you know, for our overall just health and needs.
Yeah.
So you can kind of brainstorm like, huh, all right. Well, it's really not so bad to have to, like, in the middle of the night when you're doing hard things, to chunk it up in ways that you can kind of like, okay, can I just do this for this 5 minutes? And maybe then I'm going to, you know, get some other little dopamine hit, whether if it's not going to be a cookie, maybe it is in some other way, because you do need some of that relief and some of that break for sure. So it's kind of like, okay, so I've got these needs. How can I kind of take care and address those needs? That's something you could for sure brainstorm if you can't come up with ideas yourself, you could brainstorm in the Facebook group.
Right.
So that's the C and the A: comprehend with compassion, assess and address. The next L is learn the lesson. So what are we learning from this? You know, I mean, what is it that you're learning here in kind of looking back at these last couple of weeks or since Thanksgiving?
Right. And maybe I think the lesson I'm learning is, if I know I don't have the backup at that night that during the day I need to build up more reprieve.
Yes.
And maybe figure out ways that I can like make it more fun.
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. Because you're trying to make it more fun. You're trying to, if you think about it, you're like, oh, okay, how can I kind of like break this into little bite-sized chunks? Excuse the pun. You really are breaking it into bite-sized chunks, right? Little cookies here and there. Yeah. So it's actually, in some ways, it's brilliant. You really are addressing some of your needs. You need to have little small things. Can I just do this? Can I just, what will get me to this next thing? It really is brilliant. It's just, okay, your brain is really coming up with some very good solutions to take care of your needs now. How can we come in and kind of replace some of what may not be more of the long-term need and, you know, so that you're addressing the short-term need and the long-term need at the same time. So I think that's, right. I think it's beautiful. And then the last L is to lean in with love. And so it's leaning in to this whole situation. I am confident you have so much love for this infant, but it's also having love for yourself.
Love for compassion's a hard one for me.
Yes. Yes. So it's a one you can practice, right? And it's like you have compassion for, I mean, as a foster mom, how much compassion do you have for the kids? For so many other, you know, so many other areas. And if we can, if anybody who's listening, if you find it is not unusual at all to have self-compassion be a challenge. But if you can see where you yourself are brilliant at either being very compassionate with other people, or if you are, for example, you are like a really big cheerleader for other people or a big supporter for other people. What you can do is you can kind of say, okay, what would I say to that person? How would I encourage or love on or support that person? Can I give even 1% of what I would do for somebody else? Can I even give 1% of that to myself?
Oh, yeah, I definitely haven't been doing that. No, that's good. I'm definitely going to need to work on that one, but 1% feels doable.
Exactly. 1%. That's all. We don't have to like, you don't have to think about yourself in the same way that you think about, you know, that baby. No, you don't have to do that. 1%. Give 1%. Then that does feel doable. And it's a shift. It is a big shift.
No, you're totally right. This has been great, Jane.
Yeah. Awesome.
Thank you so much.
Yeah. Thanks for raising your hand. And thank you for what you are doing in this world. So
thank you.
So important.
Bye.
Bye. All right. Amazing. All right, Caitlin. Caitlin's coming on. Let's see. While Caitlin comes on. Okay. I'm going to read this question, Caitlin, while you come on. Gina says, I've gotten better about being aware that my urge is based on a need, but I talk my way into pushing through the next time. I've been improving with interrupting my evening decompression eats, but I also keep caving and saying, I'll do better next time. How can I push past wanting to consume sweets? So one of the things I would say here for you, Gina, the thing that, okay. Caitlin is declining. So April, I'm going to pull you on while I answer this question. Okay. One of the things I noticed in this question is it says, I talk my way into pushing through the next time. So one of the things I notice is just your terminology, like pushing through. So it sounds to me like you're kind of pushing. You're either pushing or you're forcing, or there's some sort of kind of like force pushing type of energy around it. Or, and if you're also kind of like, oh, next time, I'll do it next time. It's almost like there's like this pushing away of the, oh, I'm just going to like, I'll do it next time. I'm going to push it away. So one of the things, and then even the way you ask the question, how can I push past wanting to consume sweets? So here's what I wanted to offer to you, Gina, is that we're not trying to push anything. We don't want to push anything away. We don't want to push anything past. we actually want to invite in and be with that desire, that wanting to consume it, be with that curiosity of what is this need that is underneath it. So it says I'm more aware that it's based on a need. So it's great that you have that awareness. And then the next step is, okay, well, what is this need? Can I take care of myself? Can I take care of this need in another way? So rather than pushing, trying to push something away, we're actually trying to invite in the experience. And if we're not afraid of it and we're not trying to push it, then we can just kind of be like, what is this? What is this here? What does this have to teach me? What is the need? How can I address what's going on here? So it doesn't have to become a fight or something to be afraid of. All right, April.
Hi.
Hi.
I'm going to try my best to explain it clearly.
Okay.
So I have been in no BS for this starting in the beginning of this year, and I was at 46 pounds lost. I was a serious binger for a large part of my life, and I have done very well with working away from that. Recently, around Thanksgiving, I went back to some old coping mechanisms. I lost my mom in 2020, and sometimes the triggers, I can kind of think like, oh, Mother's Day, that's going to be tricky, whatever. But this just kind of evolved me unexpectedly. My mother-in-law surprised me at her house with like a cake and balloons for my birthday, which is lovely and amazing. It just smacked me in the face of just missing my mom and also feeling guilt over the relationship that I have with his mom. So I was very close with my mom in my own way and in our own way, but we had a very difficult life. So the relationship that I have with his mom is different, and I feel like I feel guilty for the closeness that I have with her and feeling like my mom would feel upset by that. And so it triggered me, and I didn't go like full-fledged binging like I have in the past, but I definitely was like grabbing things more and mostly grabbing things and like standing in the pantry and eating, which wasn't necessarily a habit of mine in the past. So I'm not sure exactly what my question is, other than the only thing I can think of, I was trying to think of the exact question, but like in that moment when it's like an unexpected, overwhelm of emotions, like in the first place, I didn't necessarily tune into it until like a week after it happened. I wasn't really understanding. And then I realized, and it's taken me a little bit to get through it. And I just don't want the next few, there's a few weeks left in December and I don't want to keep gaining. I want to be able to process it better. Sorry.
Yeah. Tell me, I have several thoughts going on, but tell me, what are your thoughts about kind of your just the grief and the sadness that's coming up for you just in general?
What are my thoughts?
Yeah.
I feel sad that I didn't have the relationship with my mom like I have with his mom. It's so easy and natural. And my mom and I had, like I said, without getting into all the details, it was difficult. We had abuse in our life through my father. So it was just very... Yeah, it wasn't as easy. I loved her and we were close in our own way, but it was always difficult at the same time.
Do you suppose it makes sense to me that you would compare the two because they are mother figures, right? Your mother and then his mother. So it makes sense that the brain would make that conclusion. But I wonder, does it feel useful to compare? To me, I see it's like apples and oranges. Kind of truck.
Yeah, I think it's because when she was alive, she was always jealous of relationships that I had. Like, I'm close with my godmother too, and she would often give me a hard time, like, oh, you do this with Frida, but you don't do this with me. And she was always kind of a tit for tat matching kind of personality. So if I didn't, down to simple things like, oh, you had a glass of wine with Frida, why can't you have a glass of wine with me? Like, it was just always a comparison. And I think, I feel like if she was alive, she would be like, I know she loved me in her ways, but she had a very self-focused personality.
Yeah. And so in the where you are now with your mother-in-law and the relationship that you have with her, do you think that so you're thinking that your mom, if your mom was alive, she would be jealous, she wouldn't like this relationship that I have with her. And so in that way, when you're thinking that she might be jealous or that she wouldn't like it, then what's happening is it kind of draws you away from both relationships. It draws you away from the ability to be with your mom, to have the relationship with your mom, which our relationships are what we think about the other person. Relationships really all happen in our head. And you can have a lovely, beautiful relationship with your mom and a lovely, beautiful relationship with your mother-in-law, both equally in different ways, right. But they don't have to be related to each other. And when you compare the relationship of your mother-in-law, particularly thinking what your mom would think about it and how it's different and you know how it is different than that was, then it pulls you away from both relationships.
Yeah. I think I can see that logically.
Yeah.
From a distance, I guess I worry that with Christmas Eve and Christmas coming up, that I want to be able to recognize if I'm falling into that thought pattern of comparison and not succumb to it, I guess.
So there's a couple of things, and we will for sure get to the actual eating part too. But there's a couple of things that we can look at, particularly when it comes to grief. And there's clean pain and there's what's called kind of dirty pain. Clean pain is, I miss my mother. I am sad that my mother is not here on the holidays. These certain things make me think of her. I wish she was here. I remember this time, you know, that pain that is really comes from such a place of love and truly just missing that the person was there. That is a type of clean pain. Dirty pain comes when we add additional thoughts and sentences on top of the mourning and the loss of a loved one that make it essentially even worse, that make it hurt in a way that is almost like rubbing salt in a wound, that we don't need to. We can take that salt away without rubbing the salt in it. And your salt is thinking that it's not okay for you to have the relationship that you have with your mother-in-law. Because in some way, either your mom wouldn't approve or that it's taking away in some way from that relationship that you have with your mom. That's the comparing it in that way and thinking that it's not okay for you to have that relationship, the beautiful, easy, natural relationship that you have with your mother-in-law, that it, the thinking that it's not okay or that you shouldn't have such a nice, easy relationship because the relationship with your mom is complicated, that's the part that gets where we rub salt in it. Mm-hmm. Does that make sense?
Yes.
Yeah. So tell me how you aren't thinking about how your mom would feel or your relationship with your mom, tell me about your relationship with your mother-in-law, like your, like the feelings you have towards your mother-in-law.
His mom is just, from day one, very, she was very welcoming and accepting of just who I am and just grateful and thankful that I love her son and how happy we are together. And she's very she's not very intrusive. Like whenever we see her pretty much every other weekend for breakfast, and but she's not invasive. Like yeah. Even if we try to call her when we're on a vacation, like she won't answer. She's just like, you're on vacation. So it's just a genuine mothering, want to take care of and be there whenever she can. No expectations, even from Kevin. Like she's just a very special person.
Yeah. And so what you can do, you can be so appreciative and accepting. The only thing that keeps you from really taking all of that in and really just letting it land and letting her and the way that she is with you and your appreciation and love for her, the only thing that prevents you from letting all of that land is your thinking that it's in some way not in service to the relationship with your mom.
Yeah, because I know my mom and I both wanted, like we ideally would have wanted it that way, but yeah. Her and I, through everything we've been through together, but also just being very different personality wise, it just was never easy.
Yeah.
I feel like it also brings up like, that's what I would have wanted with her. And, but I understand the comparison is, I get what you're saying.
Well, and so, yeah. And there's this, so there can be this acceptance of it's what I would have wanted with my mom and it was not available. It was not available to me for lots of reasons that I can understand logically.
Right.
And how beautiful that what I would have wanted with my mom, though not available through her, is available through my mother-in-law. What a blessing is that? It's so amazing to be able to take that in.
Yes.
It's amazing. And yes, it may still bring up loss. It may still bring up grieving of what you didn't have and what you couldn't have from your mom. But it doesn't have to bring up guilt. The guilt is optional. You can receive and appreciate the mother-in-law's love and grieve what you couldn't get from your mom. You can do both, but you don't have to do it at the expense of either relationship.
Yeah.
Yeah. Now, let's talk about food. So one of the things that we can talk about, so right now tell me where you are experiencing the sadness. Well, I guess first I should ask you, what would you name what you're feeling right now, the emotion that you're feeling right now? Could you name it?
In this moment, heartbroken.
heartbroken. Yeah. Where do you feel it in your body?
It always feels when I really acknowledge the feeling I have about my mom being gone and how it all happened. It's just such a heavy feeling on my chest. Like, I can't breathe.
So tell me with the chest, the heavy feeling on your chest, is there a color to it?
Not that I could think of.
Just feels heavy. Does it have a shape?
It just feels like a compression, a weight.
Yeah.
Pushing.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think that, do you think that heaviness, if you were to just kind of go in and take a look at it, do you think it has any message for you?
Anytime I think about that, it just goes back to what I didn't do for her.
So does it feels like maybe there's some remorse in there?
Yeah, I wasn't able to be there because of COVID when she was sick. So I've worked on that through other, when I did relationships camp, like I wrote a letter on that and that helped, as much as it helps, it's still kind of there.
Yeah, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. And I think sometimes when we have these situations where something happens that we wish was different, you wish you could have been there.
Yeah.
But you couldn't. Right? There's like you could not change that. And so I wonder, when you think about feeling heartbroken, you mentioned you're heartbroken because that she's gone and because of the way that it happened. And yeah. So I'm wondering if that the way that it happened and what you're thinking about you not being able to be there for her, if that's the part that makes it like that you can't breathe, that adds that extra compression on your chest that takes away your breath.
I'm sure I had nightmares for probably a good part of the first year after she was gone because of it.
Yeah.
I would always, you hear people talk about how they would have dreams about the parent or someone who passed and telling them they're okay. And it's just not something I experienced. It's always a nightmare about her dying.
Yeah. 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 That makes sense then that it would bring up so much. Makes sense. Yeah. In what ways did you do everything that you could?
I mean, I called her every day and, they made an exception to let us one person at a time once essentially it was like she was gone, like she was unconscious. She wasn't able to speak when I was allowed in the room, but I did go to see her.
So you were there with her.
Wasn't there for any of the treatments or doctor visits. My sister-in-law, my brother had at-home jobs, so they moved in with her for the last, it went very quickly. She was diagnosed in January and I saw her in February for her birthday. And then COVID hit in March and she passed in May. So it just moved very fast.
Very fast. Yeah. Very fast. Very fast. What I hear though is that she had support and you were there with her in the end. You were there with her when you could be.
Yeah.
And holding on to the way that it happened and the story that you weren't there when you were there. That's the part that adds the part that you can't breathe. That's the part that adds this extra weight to the grief. Grief is already such a powerful and can be an all-encompassing process. But when we add to our grief in ways that take away from focusing on the individual and the love and missing where they are, that's the part that adds the additional suffering. That part that feels like you can't breathe. That part where you think you can't have the relationship with your mother-in-law, where you weren't there for your mom, those parts, that's what rubs the salt in the wound and makes it feel like you can't catch a breath.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. How does your chest feel now?
I mean, I was able to take a breath, which was good.
Here's the difference. Here's the difference with clean pain and dirty pain for anybody. When you have clean pain and you experience clean pain and you process clean pain, it feels there's a reason it's called clean. It almost feels cleansing. It almost feels like, like you can take a breath, just like you just said, like, oh, okay, I can take a breath. You let it flow through you. And it is kind of, it's cleansing in some ways. It kind of feels like, wow, I may feel like I'm exhausted, but I also feel a little lighter and a little more like there's just room in my heart to kind of breathe and for my chest to expand.
Yeah.
When we add the dirty part that says it should have been different, I should have been there. I can't have this relationship with this person now that she would think this, those types of things. That's what makes it dirty and adds that pressure. So what you can do for you is in your internal processing, when you are feeling grief, when you are feeling sadness, you can kind of go in and be like, okay. Is that pressure on my chest there, that kind that feels like I can't take a breath? If so, that's probably my clue. I'm rubbing some salt in the wound. Where's the salt that I need to take away? If it just feels kind of like heavy, but like I can take a breath and I can do that, like I can, like there's movement there. And yes, it feels really sad because I'm missing my mom, then that is more of your kind of indicator that that's more of the clean pain. And when you are beating yourself up for what you didn't even have access to be able to do, or when you're beating yourself up for having a beautiful, lovely relationship with your mother-in-law, when those things are happening, that is the type of thing that is going to be more likely to lead you to eat, right? To lead you to standing in the pantry and eating in different ways, because you're going to be wanting to get away from that internal dialogue that's saying, you shouldn't have that kind of relationship with her. You should have been there. All of those things,
right?
That's kind of, so that makes sense to me as to that internal dialogue and how you're thinking about it is going to then impact the eating there. So I would just go back to any time you have a binge or an overeat, then I would just go back to this, the CALL acronym, C-A-L-L, comprehend with compassion.
I wrote it down.
Of course, I'm feeling this way. Thinking about my mom. I'm missing my mom. It's the holidays. Of course.
Right.
Assess and address. What are my needs? How do I address my needs? Mm-hmm. Learn the lesson. What you're learning is there are different types of grief. So is this the type of grief that is truly honoring, loving, and honoring my and respecting my mom? Or is this the type of grief where I'm actually just beating myself up and making myself the villain in this story?
Right.
And then you do it all with love. Love for yourself, love for your mom, love for your mother-in-law. Just love for everybody.
Yeah.
All right.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you for raising your hand. Yeah. You've received a lot of love and compassion from the chat. So thank you.
Read it.
Now, let me tell you one thing also. When you have experienced a significant emotion like you have just now, there is going to be a need for your body to have a little decompression time. So I want you to have a plan for even just kind of decide for yourself, what am I going to do to take care of myself after this call? Be very intentional about what would sound amazing and nourishing and just like loving, whether that is what would sound just amazing to you after this call?
To hug my husband.
Yes. Hug your husband.
Yeah.
Yeah. Give yourself a lot of space and grace tonight. And just note, you may be even more tired. And it's because of what you've just gone through with this processing. So just know that sometimes it can be really helpful to just know like, okay. Oh yeah, that's right. That's right. Space, grace, love. And yeah. All right. Okay. Thank you. Alrighty. Bye. Okay. Change role to attendee. All right. Okay. Vivian, you are next. All right. Vivian is coming on. I think she's coming. I thought she was coming. Oh, she says she didn't raise her hand. Okay, let's try Melanie. Melanie coming on next. Let's see here. Okay, here comes Melanie.
Hello.
Hello.
Hi, Jane. Thank you.
Of course.
Hey, I can't see myself, but that's okay. I don't look so good. I didn't know I had tears to process today until she came on, and all of a sudden my waterworks went. So thank you, April. Bless you for you help, you know, people don't realize how much they help other people by being vulnerable. And anyway, so
yes. Thank you, April. Yes.
Yeah. So here they go. So last night I went to a friend's birthday party at a restaurant, and I was really anyway, long story short, here's why I'm calling really today. So I tried a different kind of drink. I did not have a plan for that, and that was I'm a no BS person too, and I know better.
Melanie, there's something kind of clicking in your, I don't know if there's maybe something like at your speaker that I'm just kind of hearing it clicking every once in a while.
I had my car motor running. I turned it off, but that may not, is it still clicking?
It sounds like there's maybe something rubbing against your phone as you're talking. I don't know if you've got maybe like something on your sweatshirt or something. Maybe just try to hold it maybe in a little bit of a different way. Oh no, she's frozen. Uh-oh. Melanie. Oh, there she is. Oh, Melanie. Oh, now she's gone. Oh, hopefully Melanie will come back. Hopefully Melanie will come back and she can rejoin us. All right, so while we wait to see if Melanie comes back, one of the things that's really important, just to kind of follow up, as we were talking to April and we were talking about emotions, what a beautiful example she just gave us of the process of being with emotions. So just to kind of, this is something that you can do for yourself. When you are experiencing emotions, is you can go into your body. So you go into your body and you get really curious, where am I feeling this? It can be interesting and can be useful if you can see what the name, like if I could name this emotion, do I know what the name, like, could I name this emotion? So April demonstrated for us heartbroken. She felt heartbroken. Such a powerful word, right? Like we could tell just in the way that she described the emotion, just how powerfully she was feeling it. So you can start with that. Can I name this emotion? Then you get really curious. What does it feel like in my body? Where do I notice it? So for April, she was really feeling it in her chest. You might feel it in your face. You might feel it in your extremities. You might feel it somewhere else. And then you can get curious too about, okay, I know where I'm feeling it. Does it have a shape? Does it have a color? Does it move? Is it moving around? Does it feel very steady? What do I notice about the qualities, kind of the physical qualities and the physical sensations that are happening in my body as I'm experiencing this emotion? Sometimes it can be helpful to kind of bring yourself out of it and then try to like look at it like it's almost like I'm just going to pull myself out of my body and then kind of just take myself into this feeling that I'm feeling right now, wherever I'm feeling it in my body. What do I notice? Does this have anything to say to me? Is there a message here? Oftentimes what happens is when it feels like something that is either stuck, when it's like, so for April, for example, she felt like she couldn't take a breath. It was very much like very constricted. This can be just a great awareness to us, like a great messenger to us that there's something happening here that is really not like, it's something that's keeping us stuck, something that's holding us down, putting this pressure on our chest. Now, generally, this is going to be some sort of basically lie that our brain is telling ourselves that we are believing. So in Corinne's vernacular, it is an old shitty. It is often an old shitty that is going to be creating that stuck feeling or that feeling like you can't breathe. And so if we can kind of just get curious about what's going on there. Now, when we can get out of the stuckness or just start to get curious about, is there any more movement that might be available around this emotion? Is there maybe even just like a little crack in it? If it feels stuck, if it feels so heavy, is there anywhere I might be able to loosen it up a little bit? We might be able to do that through inquiry, sometimes just being with it, sometimes just trying to infuse, bringing love or light into the emotion can kind of sometimes help to kind of create some movement there. And then once there is maybe some light there, once there is some movement there, that is really a great indication that things really, that the emotion now is actually moving and it's flowing in our body. So when you can find light or you can find movement, then what you can do is you can breathe into it. You can breathe into the spaces and see if you can't help that, that emotion move through. I love to use the visual of it dissolving, kind of like that emotion, kind of like dissolving into, you know, kind of like down into your body or kind of like down into the ground. So those are just some kind of some great ways and just some more practical tips for those of you who are experiencing emotions. Now, you guys, an urge to eat is an emotion. So you can do this when you are having that urge to eat something. When we had that question earlier that was like, how do I push past this? We don't want to push past anything. We don't want to push past our urges to eat. We don't want to push away our grief either. We don't want to push any of these things away. Our emotions are messengers. They have so much to teach us if we are willing to be with them and to see what they have to teach us. So if we can, when we're having that urge, if we can be like, oh yeah, right, this is an emotion. I know what to do with emotions. I go into my body. I get curious, where do I feel this? Where? So everybody listening, the next time you have an urge, I want to encourage you. Oh yeah, I'm going to try that thing. I'm going to try that thing that Jane suggested. I'm going to go into my body. I'm going to say, where am I feeling this in my body? If you want, pretend like I am just talking you through this. What would Jane say? Pretend like you hear me asking you these questions. Where do you feel the urge in your body? What does it feel like? Could you name this emotion? Maybe it's just urge. Maybe it's urgent. Maybe it is something. Maybe there's another emotion there. Often when we're having an urge, there's actually an emotion underneath the urge to eat. Sometimes we're trying to eat just to cover up the emotion. So this can be another question. Is there another emotion underneath this desire to eat? Am I trying to cover something else up? If so, am I willing to peel back this layer of the urge to see what else might be there? What does that feel like in my body? Where do I feel it? Is there a color to it? Is there a shape to it? Is it moving? Is it static? Can I go in and get curious about what message it has for me? What is this emotion trying to tell me? Is there any light? Can I breathe some movement into this? Can I drain this emotion? Can I allow this emotion to kind of drain? Can I bring love into this to help kind of dissolve some of this stuck feeling? These are things that you can do with your urges as well. So if you have the opportunity, we're all going to have urges again, whether it happens right in this moment or if it happens tomorrow or the next day. But the next time you have an urge, if you get curious, you go into your body, see what happens there. I would love to hear what happens for you. This has been an amazing call. I have loved being with you all as usual. I will see you in January for our monthly call then. Thanks, everybody. Bye.